And as we quickly approach our new school year of ministry, I want to urge you to make certain that contributing to the health of our church fellowship is one of your top priorities. A book by Roland Mueller, The Messenger, The Message, and The Community, highlights three primary and essential ingredients in the process of bringing someone fully into the family of Christian faith. God's Word makes it clear that a messenger is necessary for making the gospel message known to the people of this world. But the messenger must have a comprehensible message for his target audience to hear and, Lord willing, to believe. The gospel message needs to be heard and understood. This places a demand on the messenger to be a Holy Spirit-led communicator of the gospel. Now, the third element in this process of bringing someone fully into the family of faith is the Christian community. Christian community is another way of saying church. God's people gathered together. It is the interdependent, cooperative working and worshiping together of God's people for a common mission under our common Lord Jesus Christ. As I said last week, we must not be satisfied that our work of evangelism is complete until the saved person is integrated into the Christian community. It's not enough to say that we've led someone to pray a prayer inviting Christ to be one's Savior and Lord. We must come alongside the new believer and assist him or her in finding his or her place in the local church, the Christian community. Thus, Christian community is vital, not only for welcoming an unbeliever to meet the living Christ, but Christian community is vital for encouraging the young believer to grow in Christ. And I believe Christ designed his church to be a magnet for unbelievers to discover him and also to be a second home for brothers and sisters in Christ, where believers continue to discover the riches that they have because of Christ. Now, here's my concern. My concern in this regard stems from my personal perception that we tend to hold a less than high view of Christian community. I believe we Christians have been far too protective of our independence to take seriously this piece of the faith puzzle. Further, I believe that our busy schedules too often push Christian fellowship out to the margins and to the periphery of our lives. So we find that we are not even able to be faithful participants in the body of which we are members. And friends, it's not the things that make us so busy are necessarily bad things. More likely, they are good things. But good things can just as easily as bad things keep us from doing the best things and the most important things. We are all finite beings. We all have limits. There's just so much we can pack into our calendars before our circuit breakers trip from overload. So if we are going to give Christian community the place it deserves, both in our personal lives and as a vital part of our corporate mission as a church, then we must address those things that are preventing us from full participation in Christian community. So as a preface to my message, I feel it necessary to invite you to place on the altar this morning your schedules, your relationships, and your goals. Give them to God. We sang a song very much like that when we said, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee." Give them to God and allow then God to give them back to you on His terms. In other words, allow Christ in the most practical of ways to be Lord of your life, where He rules your schedule, where He rules your calendar. Now, I know this is getting pretty radical, but I still want you to hear me out. The first passage I invite you to allow to wash over your soul as you ponder this radical invitation to give your calendar to God is Romans 12:1-2. Paul writes, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Let us not forget that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord of our lives. He is Lord of this universe. And He is worthy of being in the position of Master. He is worthy of being worshipped. And our worship is to offer Him our bodies, our lives, the whole of who we are as living sacrifices. And included in this offering are our schedules, our relationships, and our goals. And notice from Romans 12, the purpose for which we offer our bodies to God in worship. It is to prove the goodness of God. He says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Our sacrifice is not to appease a vengeful God or to bribe Him. Rather, our sacrifice is to verify and confirm His goodness. God is good. His plans for us are good. When He says no to us, He does so for our good and His glory. When He points us in the direction of righteousness and holiness, it is for our good and His glory. When He places us in Christian community so we can grow spiritually and have a more effective witness and ministry, it is for our good and His glory. I'm afraid many of us need to really believe this about God. God is not the cosmic killjoy that the destroyer of our souls would like us to think He is. Rather, He brings into our lives peace and contentment, joy and real life. God is good, and to allow Him to transform our lives will be for our good and for His glory. A second passage I invite you to allow to wash over your soul as you ponder this invitation, this radical invitation to give your calendar to the Lord, is Hebrews 12:1-2. The writer says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." God has marked out for us a race to run. There is set before us a goal. A goal that has joy waiting for us. But life tends to bring an accumulation of things that hinder us in our running. Have you noticed that? The text implies that we each have a sin that we are especially vulnerable to and that so easily entangles us. And we are to throw off these things that hinder and this sin that entangles so that we can run with perseverance. I believe this is just another way of inviting us to offer our calendars to God so He can work them over and then present them back to us with His stamp of approval. There is yet a third passage that I invite you to allow to wash over your soul as you ponder this invitation to place your calendar on the altar. And so I want you to offer your calendar to God this morning. And here is the third passage from Philippians 3, selections from verse 7 through 10 and 13 and 14. Paul writes, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him." I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. And then verse 13, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." This invitation that I'm offering you, this invitation to offer your calendars on the altar that God has before us this morning, is really an invitation to remember the true goal of your life. It is the prize for having lived life in obedience to Christ. It's recognizing that there is nothing, absolutely nothing more important or more valuable than knowing Christ Jesus as Lord. And unless you are compelled by this goal, I don't believe that you'll be comfortable with offering yourself as a living sacrifice to God. So I beg you to allow these three passages of Scripture to wash over your souls and transform your minds and see the goodness of God and His worthiness to be worshipped. I believe Scripture argues for a high view of Christian community as a vital part of our growth in Christ and our partnership with Christ in His ministry in the world. But we have been too satisfied that we have been issued a birth certificate as a Christian while at the same time knowing far too little of the sacrifice and perseverance of being an active participant in Christian community. You see, I am convinced that one of the most powerful ministry tools that we have right now at our disposal is a healthy, functioning Christian community. Such an idea comes from Jesus Himself. During His conversation with His disciples in the upper room the night before His crucifixion, Jesus said this, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." This is the way it's supposed to work. Unbelievers witnessing Christian community in action. And when they do, I believe what Jesus said, they will understand that the members of that community are disciples of Jesus Christ. Now you talk about power, the power of communication. Genuine Christian community communicates the love of Jesus Christ. And friends, we are part of such a community. We've seen the impact of it in people's lives. We should be excited about this. God is doing a work in us to let His light shine in us and through us. Amen? Praise God? Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, 5, and 6, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." As members of this community of Christ obeyers, we preach Christ as Lord in word and in deed. As members of this community, we understand ourselves as servants to one another within this community. So as this community of servants, Christ is pleased to make His light shine in our hearts, so that we become aware of the glory of God. And that same light radiates the glory of God to the unbelievers who are looking on. That is why a healthy, functioning Christian community is one of the most powerful ministry tools at our disposal. I believe that if we truly want this kind of church, Jesus needs to be Lord of our calendars. What does it look like to have Christ as Lord of our calendars, especially as it relates to our participation in Christian community or Christian fellowship? A child in a Christian school was asked to draw a picture depicting the hymn, "Gladly the cross I'd bear." And he did exactly that. I wish I could have put up the picture, but here's the way you understand it. He drew a picture. Gladly. Should have a picture of a bear up there crossing. Now, hopefully, we can be more clear in what Christian community looks like. Christian community or biblical fellowship in God is God's method for the outworking of His will through the church. The biblical word fellowship or community is the Greek word koinonia. It's translated into English in a variety of ways, most often with the word fellowship. Other times, it's translated community, participation, partnership, sharing, or taking part. It's a word denoting a relationship that is dependent on more than one individual. It is an interdependent relationship. And three times Paul uses the word koinonia in his letter to the Philippians. Philippians 1, 4, and 5. He says, "In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your koinonia, your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." In chapter 2, he writes, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any koinonia with His Spirit, any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose." In Philippians 3, 10 and 11, he writes, "I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the koinonia in His sufferings, the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, the participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." In each case, the word koinonia refers to a partnership, a fellowship, a community, a sharing together in the life and ministry of Christ. And it serves as a very helpful synonym for the church as a community of faith. Church is the interdependent, cooperative working and worshiping together of God's people for a common mission under the common Lord, Jesus Christ. When we became Christians, we were called into fellowship or partnership with His Son, Jesus Christ, and also into partnership with fellow Christians. How can each of us be brothers or sisters with Christ without also being brothers and sisters with each other? So important for us to understand about koinonia, or fellowship, is that it is not just about being together, it's about doing together. Fellowship is our partnership with Christ in fulfilling God's will. That's why we must submit our calendars to God and allow Him to determine what fills them. That's because we have an active partnership with Christ. If you can see yourself as a partner with Christ, do you suppose you'll be asking Him what we're going to do today? And not too surprisingly, He's our senior partner. He leads the way. It's His will that we want to be doing. In fact, we can only participate with Christ in doing God's will, for that is all He ever does. True community or fellowship with Christ involves actively doing God's will. When Paul addresses Timothy, urging him to push away from evil and pursue God's best, he exhorted him to do it alongside other members of the community of faith. And he did not suggest to Timothy just to do it alone. Notice the one reference to 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 22. Paul says to Timothy, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace." Underline, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Partnership. Together. From this one word, koinonia, I believe we can discover the definition of the community that we are a part of at this church. Our community of faith is the interdependent, cooperative working and worshiping together of God's people for a common mission under our common Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, why is a healthy, functioning Christian community so important? I go back to John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." So a healthy, functioning Christian community communicates the love of Jesus Christ and makes it clear to the observers that Jesus Christ is the Lord of this community. That's what we want others to see when they are a part of this community, whether we're gathered here or whether we're away in our residences or places of employment. When they see the functioning of this body, however it's gathered or separated, they see that this body has Jesus Christ as their Lord. I believe that some of us are trying to do by ourselves what God intended to be done in community or in partnership. And my prayer for New Heights in the coming weeks and months is that we will discover a new excitement of partnering with members of this fellowship for the accomplishment of His will for us individually and His will for us collectively. I know some of you could benefit greatly if someone would come alongside of you and be a partner with you. Whether it's in scripture memory or in trying to break an addiction. Doing it alone is not the plan that God has. See, God's plan should be compared to a symphony rather than a solo. The beauty of the symphony is not the sounding of a single note, no matter how loud it is played, but it is the fellowship of the full orchestra playing together. The church is God's orchestra. Together with Christ, we make beautiful music. This is true, and that's God's plan for us. That's why a healthy, functioning Christian community must be our goal. Who are we? We are God's people. We belong to God. He has chosen us. He has set us apart for a special assignment. And we are dearly loved. In other words, each of us has been selected to be on God's team, and together we have been given a mission to fulfill. We have been redeemed from a life of futility so that we can live a life with purpose. We are God's chosen people. Peter gives us four names in his first letter. He says we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Now there's a reason that we are assigned this identity. There is a reason that we have been set apart. Notice what Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. You see, we have been redeemed. We have been rescued. We have been salvaged, if you would, from darkness, and have been invested with life, renewed with God's Spirit, and then positioned in a community of similarly revived people. We are God's chosen people to be in community together, to let His light shine through us so that the world, if they open their eyes, or if we bump into them, they will see that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Paul identifies in his letter to Titus the purpose for our being called out of darkness. See, the Lord Jesus wants to purify us as a people who carry His identity and who are eager to do what is good. Titus 2:14, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. So God has gathered together a bunch of people whom He has salvaged from the wrecking yard of life, implanted His life within each of us, and then assigned us. Don't forget this assignment. He has assigned us to unite together in community for the purpose of shining a spotlight back on Him with our praises and with our good deeds. From the prayer of our Lord in the upper room shortly before His crucifixion, Jesus said, "I have given them, His disciples, the glory that You gave Me, that they may be one as We," the Father and the Son. That's the kind of tightness and unity He was talking about. That we would be one. "I in them and You in Me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me." How will the world know that Christ has called us out to be His people in the world? It will be by the love we have for each other that is empowered by the love that we're receiving from God Himself. Do you want to experience more of Christian community? Do you want to participate in making music that lets the world know of the beauty of our Lord? Thus I invite you to make a commitment to be a consistent and faithful participant in the ministry of this congregation. Why? Because a healthy, functioning Christian community will be one of our most powerful tools for your own growth in Christ, as well as a huge assistance in seeing your friends come to place their trust in Jesus Christ as well. Read the testimonies of our own members, and you will see the significant role that the community of faith plays in someone coming to know Christ. Let's seize the opportunity that we have in our hands now. This is a great community of faith. Let's make this community a priority in our calendars. Starting now. And we will see fruit that will be born, both in the strengthening of our own walk, in the conquering of addictions that plague some of us, and in seeing some of our friends come to meet our Lord and Savior and join us in this community. Father, we offer this morning our calendars to you. Oh, we're going to fight to do this, but Lord, help us to do it. We've got routines. We've got plans. We've got goals. We don't know if we really want to let you have your way with them. Lord, give us a willingness. Help us see clearly that you are good. And any changes that you would make to our calendar would be for our good and would be for your glory. Convince us of that so that we will gladly offer our calendars to you this morning. And that we would have a sense of anticipation and even excitement as you would hand them back to us and say, "Here is how I want you to plan your day." In Jesus' name, amen.